Okay, one more time. My name is Brian. I'll be the administrator on today's call. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. The URL for the notes page is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. One more time, that's mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we will ask you to refresh that page several times as we add some data and other notes to that page. Some key commands on your telephone that you might find useful. *4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing. And *6 will mute your line. We will be staying in lecture mode for most of the conference this afternoon, but we will open it up a couple times for questions. And at that time, if you're in a noisy room, we do ask that you hit *6 to mute your line in order to keep the background noise to a minimum. At this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be today's primary presenter.
Thank you, Brian. We'll begin. You should have your notes in front of you. Today's topic is on multivariable testing and how testing multiple changes simultaneously can save you time and speed up your optimization schedule, potentially increase your profits. Multivariable testing or multivariate testing, depending on the term you're familiar with, has become one of the buzzwords, I think, over the last 24 months as I have listened to the marketing conversation across the net. Most of us are quite familiar with A-B split testing. For those of you that may be new to the concept, multivariate allows you to test more than one variable within essentially a single test. And so its attractiveness is based on the fact that you can make more changes when you're testing a page and arrive sometimes more quickly at an optimum when you are conducting a test procedure. So multivariable testing allows you to test many changes simultaneously, sometimes 5 up to even 20, and there are various variations. You can go beyond that, but you'll still get essentially, in some cases, accurate results without having to increase your total sample size. And potentially, you're able to identify the impact of each individual change. The problem is, many people don't know, A, does multivariate really work? What about the Taguchi method? What is the difference? They don't understand whether or not a test should be done because of its simplicity or because of its design with an A-B split model as opposed to a multivariate model. They're not clear on these things. We hear about it, and it sounds good, and clearly if it would work flawlessly as a testing tool, it would provide many of us with a much quicker way to get to an accurate result. I think the whole focus of this recent project and this research that we've been doing is to study its applications in a number of different situations, try to discern when A-B split testing may be better, to discern, in other words, when to use the multivariate option, and can you really rely on it, and what are the dangers associated with it. I don't know that we can cover that completely in this topic, but I think we can dig down into the data and come away here with an understanding as to how we can use it, and possibly even how some marketers who think it's well beyond them can take advantage and use it. We have Scott Miller, who's an expert in this subject, on the phone with us also beyond my staff. And Scott is with Förster, who's done some work with us in this area. We are not an affiliate of their group. We do multivariate testing here. We've conducted it with them also. Scott is on the phone. When we get to some of the questions, you may have thoughts or questions regarding this, and some of the data was done in tests that we've done together. But I point out again that we're not promoting any particular program. We don't have any rev share or incentive to do so. Scott, I'd like to verify if you made the call. I understood that you were logging in, but could you just verify that you're here? Actually, you probably can't. We probably got you on lecture mode, don't we?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep,
good.
I am here.
Excellent. All right. So, Scott, feel free to jump in if you have a thought when we talk about this topic with our group today. But essentially, in this brief, working with data from a variety of sources, we will show you how multivariable testing works and how it may be able to help you dramatically or quickly improve the performance of your site pages and email messaging. And beyond the immediate improvements in page performance, it also can offer two other important benefits. One is an accelerated learning curve. A single A-B split test can teach you something important about a key website page. Now imagine, in a sense, how you can learn within the same time frame or how much you can learn when you look at the performance impact of 10 or 20 distinct changes during the same test cycle or typical interval that you would run the A-B split test. The other thing it can do is sometimes give you the ability to do something that our researchers have called and others have called breakthrough thinking. When you can test only one change at a time, you are under pressure to think of a good change, something you think has a highly likelihood of delivering improved results. But this can lead to caution. This can mitigate against the kind of creative breakthrough that might dramatically improve things. And so with multivariable testing, you can test many more changes. And this takes the pressure off and gives you enormous creative latitude. And sometimes it opens the door to completely new ideas. Is it the best choice for every company? And is it the best choice for every circumstance? These are questions we're going to dig into as we understand and work through this data that we've been studying. But we'll begin with the first question, that is, how does a multivariable test differ essentially from an A-B split test? And we're going to explain that using data samples. And if you'll look in your notes right now, Brian should be dropping in a new table for you to review. Essentially, an A-B test isolates a single page variable and tests two variations against each other. We've given you the results for a test that we've recently conducted. And if you look at that, you'll notice the number of displays, 17,598. By the way, if you're not aware of this, just hit the refresh button on your notes page, and you should see the new table in it. And then you'll see 17,682 displays on the other order form. And essentially, the difference is the conversion rate of 0.51. 6.51 as opposed to 6.0. What you really need to understand is the optimized page improved the conversion rate of our test site from 6% to 6.51, and that's an increase of 8.5%. But that's 87 additional orders worth $2,600 more. And that's over this quick display. Imagine the impact of that over a 12-month period. In a recent brief, we covered A-B split testing in great detail, and you may be able to get, you know, the most out of the material that we talk about even throughout this conference if later you reference this other conference. You can hear the conference or you can read the study itself. There's a link in your notes. I believe it's link number one.
And link number two, actually.
Is it link two?
Yeah.
Link number two in your notes will actually take you to the report that teaches you what we discovered on the A-B split testing. It's very practical information, and perhaps it can help you. A multivariable test transcends the limitations of a simple A-B test in two ways. One, you can test multiple page variables at once, and two, you can use more than two variations of each variable. I want to show you another data set, and that should be dropped in your notes. Go ahead and drop that in now, Brian.
Okay.
With A-B split testing, it can become tedious to isolate and optimize all of the elements on a page one at a time. In response, a number of companies have developed testing platforms that will simultaneously test a variety of elements such as graphics, background color, headline text, etc., etc. And the testing software splits incoming traffic among the variations and shows each visitor only one version of the composite page. Now, if you look at the data set you have in front of you now, you're going to see the results of a multivariate microtest. In the results below, the variables are sorted by conversion rate. And this was a very simple test, using only two variations for each of the six variables. Now, if this is sounding too academic for you, let me try to just make it simple as possible. A1, B1, C1, do you see the letter A? It stands for the actual element that's being tested. And you'll notice that you have, the variations in all the way up through F, and then it goes F2, E2, D2, C2, B2, and A2. Essentially what happens is, not only can you go on a page and choose each element that you want to test, but you could test it not just against one item, but you might have four variations of the headline, which this experiment did not do. But you could not just test, for instance, A and B, one headline against another headline, but you can test one headline against four other headlines while at the same time testing background color and drop shadow and border, etc. So if you study the data carefully, it's fascinating, really. What you need to understand is in this multivariate test, six page elements were tested simultaneously. Background color had the largest impact on conversion rate. Now, I don't want to deviate too much from the study itself, but one of the grave mistakes that we see in most high-end, elegant-looking site designs is improper use of background color and text color. And I'll point out for many of you that are thinking about optimization testing, so often dark background colors, which may be more appealing to the designer's eye, have a negative impact on conversion. We've seen it over and over again. And in this study, it had a significant impact. It had the largest impact on a conversion rate, an increase of 65.6%. The second increase was the call to action, which produced a 56.8% increase. Now, this is data provided from a set done with Verster, and Scott Miller's on the line, who is, I think, the CEO of that group, and you may have questions about this, which you can ask later, but Scott, do you have any comments on this particular test that I'm talking about right now?
Probably the most important takeaway from this in reference to the background color is that this data was actually from a multivariate test that we did of a little banner ad that ran on our website. And the reason that we always hypothesize about these results and try to understand them better, the reason we think background color was the most important was because white was also the background color of the entire page. And so having a white banner with no border on a white page causes basically the content of the advertisement to blend in with the rest of the page and not look so much like an advertisement anymore. And we've seen, we don't test Google AdSense, but we know that similar things generally hold true in that area. If you
Yes.
make things blend in, you get a higher click-through rate.
We were working with one of the largest publishers in the world, and they had an elaborate, sophisticated display advertising program, which we substituted using simple text links and generated significant higher click-throughs with those text links. And so one of the things that I want to teach in a later conference is actually the process of gleaning insights from testing. You know, if two researchers look at the same set of data, one researcher discerns a group of facts, and the other discerns a set of insights that go deeper than the facts. And that's where your marketing instincts come in handy. Some of you have been involved with us when we've done multiple tests in the past, and we've actually, been testing live the results of three different versions of a landing page, and we've asked the marketers in our conference to rate which landing page they thought would score the highest. And so far this year, every test like that we have conducted, the marketers have failed. It may be interesting one day to do a separate study on just marketing instinct. Having said that, it makes you doubt your marketer's intuition, and it should. Testing often is counterintuitive in terms of the results it produces, but on the other hand, if you've got that natural instinct, that understanding of human nature that helps you in marketing, it is really quite useful when you apply it on the post-data side. That is, after gathering data, it helps you to begin to piece together insights about your audience and the way you're presenting content to them. So you're looking at this example, and it was a simple test using only two variations for each of the six and resulting in 12 rows of results. Multivariate testing, though it can make it practical to test with many more variables and variations of each, by increasing the variables and the values, the number of visitors required for a conclusive test increases exponentially. Section 4, we'll get to in a moment, discusses how providers of multivariate testing platforms have addressed this problem. In a subsequent multivariate test, we discovered something fascinating regarding headlines, and I want to drop that in for you to look at. There should be a data set in front of you right now. If you look at that test in front of you, you'll notice again the headline, there's six variations. You'll notice the number of views, the number of people who took action or the conversions, along with the rates. What you really need to understand when weighted against the original page, headline one resulted in a 20.39% increase in conversion. The thing that's wonderful about it is that the test was done simultaneously, and so it was done much quicker. And so essentially, at least in theory, the company could make money much faster than it could have had it had to move through all six variations sequentially. So you could actually see, by the way, a screenshot showing the interface which generated these results. If you look at, is it link three, Brian?
That's correct.
At link three. And from our site, and it'll actually show you kind of how those results were accumulated. So the question is, with all of this above, why wouldn't you just convert to 100% multivariable testing? I mean, it would seem that it could provide such a breakthrough and a savings in time, and I think we need to address that, because multivariable testing it's not the ultimate tool. It's actually one of several that you should use to optimize your marketing, and there are times, many times, when a simple A-B test will prove even superior. A-B split testing offers, we think, the following advantages. Number one, and Brian, why don't we drop these first three, 165 line in my notes, or line 165 through 178.
Okay.
Or through 180. Moment. The first three. We're going to drop these points right into your notes so you can see them. Mind you, if things get complex in this conference call, bear in mind that you're going to be able to review the actual report, which we'll be releasing. Make sure you're subscribed and on our list. And secondly, you can also get this recording and listen to it again as you read the full report. But first of all, A-B testing is quick and easy to set up. You can think of a new page headline over lunch and implement a test and see results within a few hours, depending on your traffic. Once, and by the way, it's easy to get built into your server system. It's really not hard to add A-B split testing to your architecture. Now, many of you find it easier to use a third party, and I advocate that if it's easier for you. But multivariate testing gets pretty complex to add to your server infrastructure. A-B testing offers typically very unambiguous results. If you're testing only a single page variable with two possibilities, the results are typically available quickly, and the best course of action is usually quite clear. And this is not in my notes, but the thing about A-B split testing that's so wonderful is its simplicity. We tend to overcomplicate things in marketing, and we would do better to do two things, to know what the right thing is to test and to test it right. Now, if you test the wrong things, you get all kinds of data that doesn't truly help you move the needle. But if you test the right things in the wrong way, you're still stuck because you don't have the kind of results from your test that will help you make the right decision. So part of the secret to testing and not becoming overwhelmed is to discover what are the four or five most important things that could make an impact on what you're doing and bear down on those four or five. And then, and if you probably heard about this if you were on the conference in our last web conference where we taught on how to sequence, what to test first, second, and third, the power of compound testing. I was out of the country when that conference was delivered, so some of the team members here did so. But the data, which we worked on, was really fascinating. With single-digit gains only, we saw how if you tested in the right order, those gains would compound, and the overall impact on your revenue was dramatic. You may want to get there's a briefing, and the conference, and none of that costs you. So, you know, if it helps you, I would recommend it. But the point is, simplicity is very important because you're looking for actionable decisions, and testing for the sake of testing is just an academic exercise. So a third point is, if you're optimizing pages for a new website or for a client, you may want to test the existing page against a page containing all of the best practices you've discovered for designing landing pages, order pages, etc. And our library of past experiments is a helpful guide for identifying best practices in many of these areas. And you may utilize that as a means of testing a version or testing out a new control page. Now, I am aware that multivariate can be helpful in arriving at a control page. There are some problems, which we're going to talk about before it's done, things you need to be aware of when you conduct multivariate testing. It can be used in different circumstances. It takes some time to set up. This is 2 points. Brian, I'm going to have you drop 184 through 190 into their notes,
okay,
but not under multivariable testing, but not the third point. Because
it should be there now.
I think it needs to be restated. It takes some time to set up a multivariable test. You have to design and implement all the individual page variations at once. And even if you have a number of variations and combinations to test, multivariable testing can save you much time and aggravation in the long run. So there's pros and cons. But it may be useful to look at how some companies are using multivariable testing to improve the marketing. And we thought we'd pull two case histories and show you exact concrete examples, which we're going to do next. And then we want to talk about what is the Taguchi method and when should it be used. And then we want to look at some of the most important insights that we have learned through A-B split multivariate testing. Those insights are probably the key part of this whole call, and so we'll try to move through some of the data sets first and rapidly. Let's look at two of these case studies. The first one is Joanne.com, and it's a website serving millions of arts and crafts enthusiasts. That's Joann.com. The company used Offermatica to set up multivariate tests in a number of site areas, and after one round of testing, these are the results that registered. You may notice a new table in your notes by refreshing your page. Essentially, what you need to understand from that table is the company was excited. Overall, revenue per visitor improved by 209%. Now, I want to say two things here. Single-digit gains in testing are still extremely valuable. And when you test the right components in the right order, you can see significant improvements in revenue. But it is not unusual for us in the labs here. In fact, I was in New York yesterday and the day before, and I was talking to, again, one of the largest publishers in the world, and our testing procedure in their order process produced a 341% increase in conversion, which just goes straight to the bottom line in revenue. So, and we had a series of tests. There were several of them that produced in the 50 percentile range, but we had two that went into triple digits. And that's remarkable in terms of its impact. And so that is, kind of what happens when you hit the home run. But may I point out that you should not try to seek a home run with every test. Those are the pleasant surprises that come. Single-digit gains, if you quantify them properly, are really valuable. So the most memorable lesson from this first experiment was with Joanne was the offer that the marketing team thought would be the least viable actually generated the highest return. And that's critical. The one that they thought would work the least was buy two sewing machines and save 10%. Now think about that intuitively if you're a marketer. Why would you buy two, and what's the incentive of just saving 10%? It's counterintuitive until you really study the offers, but the bottom line is it generated the highest return, and I quote, "People were pulling their friends together, and we sold enough machines to outperform single purchases." See, I think many of us as marketers would have thought, well, who needs two sewing machines? But the craft community is a very close-knit community. It's typically small circles of enthusiasts who work on things together, and they simply teamed up and bought two at the same time and saved 10%. You can't understand. You cannot project. You cannot predict. We as marketers ought to depend less on our prophetic abilities and more on our ability to count. So here's a key point. Even the most intelligent marketers are often proven wrong by testing. Intuition is no substitute for well-designed experiments. Look at the second case. In the second case, we looked at it's Monster.com. It's obviously one of the large employment websites. in one of Monster.com's multivariate tests, they optimized their jobs page by testing four page elements, each with three, or primarily three values. These page elements were sales copy, and this was an original copy versus a more conversational copy versus a bullet copy. So three kinds of sales copy. What they had, a very conversational tone and a bulleted copy. Headlines was the secondary they tested, a default headline versus a new version versus another new version. So two versions, new version one, new version two. And then three, savings, whether to put the word savings in percent or savings in dollars or not to even mention the savings, not to list them. And the fourth was a savings calculator, whether to add it, whether it was better if it was there or if it was not. The default page consisted of the original copy and layout, no displayed savings amount, and no savings calculator. You can see a picture of that on our site. Screenshot, what link number is it, Brian?
That's link number four. And actually, if your browser resizes images automatically, you may have to go to the lower right corner and expand the image to fit the full size so it's readable. That's link number four.
Link number four. You'll see that in link number four. And also, once you get pull that up, you may want to look at link number five, because the winning page included new copy, a stronger headline, savings in dollars from buying in bulk, and the savings calculator. The whole thing resulted in 11.6% increase in performance. That's the key. So there are two very practical ways multivariate testing can help you. And some of you, multivariate may be extremely complicated in terms of, even if you get a result, knowing how to interpret the result. And if you have questions, email us, and we can either recommend someone to help you, or we can recommend a way, something we may be doing. If there's a research project we're involved with that yours fits, which may not be the case, but at least if not, we can perhaps hook you up with somebody that can help you. But that brings me to kind of one of the questions I get asked a lot, and that is, you know, what is the Taguchi method and when should it be used? And most of us hear about multivariate testing, and some of us hear about Taguchi, and they're not precisely the same. And just consider a hypothetical multivariate test that has five variables with three values each. There are 243 possible composite pages built from these elements. It may take 100 or more conversions to each of these pages to generate the most trustworthy results. That's the confidence factor. That's very critical. If your conversion rate averages 5%, it would take 486,000 visitors to generate accurate results under these conditions. Now, I'll explain this more in the brief that we send out to you with notes and the actual formula, so you'll understand how we arrive at that. But the following table, and you can look in your notes now, as you hit refresh, there should be a new table in there, illustrates the exponential increase in the number of composite pages as variables and values increase. Now, a value is an essential element, and a variable are various versions of that element. Just to make it very clear.
But that's actually the other way around, if that's not clear. The variables are the elements of the page and the values.
Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. I'm a typical dyslexic professor, so you correct me anytime I do that. What you need to understand, as the number of variables and values increase, the number of composite pages increases at an exponential rate that often defies simple intuitive marketing design. Look at eight variables, 256 pages, all the way up to when you add four values each, you're at 65,536 pages. All of this leads to this concept of the Taguchi method. It uses fractional factorial testing to reduce the number of variations necessary to determine the variables and values with the greatest impact. It was originally implemented 50 years ago and has been used successfully to test automobile and other product manufacturing. More recently, companies have begun to apply the Taguchi method to direct marketing in the Internet. The method dictates exact combinations of page elements that allow a marketer to determine accurate estimations, and they are estimations, of the most important variables on the page and the best values for those. The length of the test cycle and the number of visitors required using the Taguchi method is surprisingly small. It reminds me of something that we're working and have been developing here for about 5 years, and it's our microtesting philosophy. We have a way, for instance, to arrive at major marketing probabilities with small, discrete tests. We call it microtesting. It's part of our internal philosophy. And in some sense, the Taguchi method parallels that in the multivariate environment. And so what we need to understand is, you know, does it work? Put it this way, we need to understand certain insights and cautions in using the method. And that brings me to my final question, and that is, what are some of the key insights that we've learned from our A-B split and multivariate testing that apply to this whole issue? And so I'd like to kind of work through that with you right now. And before I touch this set of notes, I'm going to go ahead and open the floor for a few minutes for questions. Now, let me just say this before I do. One, we know that sending emails to us might be cleaner way to conduct a question and answer session. Well, you sent us emails while we talked, and then we selected those emails. And we may have to go to that because there's so many people on the phones for these conferences. But we also really like just the raw interaction, and that's why we haven't done so yet. We like hearing from you and hearing your voice. And so we're going to try to open the phone line up where you can talk with us now, take it out of lecture mode, and ask a few questions before we switch to this last section. What I'd like you to do is identify your name and then ask your question. You can give us your first name or your first and last, but just give us a name and your question. Now, four or five of you may talk at one time, which is all right. I'll just call your name. Listen carefully for that. And the one name that I call, if the others will just kind of back down and let that person express their question, we'll do what we can. And I have a solution for you if you have a trouble getting an answer for your question. So let's just go ahead and, Brian, take it off lecture mode. And let me open the floor and go ahead, and if you have a question, now's your time.
John Klein.
Go ahead, John.
The difference between the straight multivariate and the Taguchi, if I understand you right, in the straight multivariate, are you testing every element against every other element? In the Taguchi, you're only testing various combinations?
Well, the easiest way to express the difference and not make a semantic mistake, from my standpoint, is to say that the Taguchi method has a formula that allows you to arrive at a decision with a much smaller sampling. You know, in the case of the website, with far less traffic or conversions. The traditional multivariate method requires a comprehensive test that entails much more traffic or conversions or risk.
Okay.
Now, does that answer your question, John?
Partially.
But
my question is, in multivariate, do you have to test every element against every variable against every other variable in all the combinations?
No, you do not under Taguchi, but you do under multivariate.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, a couple of the other major differences. Multivariate testing sort of encompasses a broad spectrum of different techniques, some developed as proprietary algorithms, and simply describes testing multiple variables at the same time. Taguchi is a variety of a broader science known as DOE, or design of experiments, which is a broad statistical methodology for testing multiple things at the same time. In traditional DOE, or multivariate experimentation, you are limited to generally binary or two-value only for each variable. And what they both yield is the predicted or estimated best combination of the elements. So Does that help answer your question any further?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Very good. And feel free to email us a more specific question if you need to, and we'll try to help you in more detail if we can with your question. It's rather complex, and multivariate has become a vague word that means all that really stands for many methods, depending on who you talk to. And as we'll see, it doesn't always work properly either. In fact, in many cases, it doesn't work properly, in my estimation. That's why you need to be very careful about how you set it up. We'll talk about a little bit about that coming up. It can be wonderful, though. Another question.
Yeah, hi. This is Chris Caputo from American Greetings. Quick question. Are you able to multivariate test across multiple pages as opposed to just one page?
I have an answer for that, but I'll let Scott respond.
Our experience with that, Chris, is yes, it can be done, although it becomes exponentially complex as you do that, and not only from a technical perspective of tracking somebody as they move through the site, but also as you show them different variations on the first page, then they move to the second, your sample gets mixed up, and it's just extremely complex because you've got people seeing one of a bunch of different recipes on the first page. And so say you have 10 recipes on the first page, then they're feeding into 10 more recipes on the second. You multiply that, and obviously it becomes both extremely complex to analyze the results, and you also need a much larger amount of traffic to be able to figure out what's going on.
Okay. Hi, this is Michael Montero. Could I add to that?
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I think one way that we've handled that same situation where you're trying to create different types of variations of pages when going from one page to another is to kind of simplify the multivariate test. In some cases, the pages might have similarities from one to the other. And so there might be factors that are constant or that are the same. And we look at those things, and if those are the interests within our clients, we look at varying those. And that way we simplify the problem.
I'm an advocate, and we haven't got to this yet, but I'll just tell you, the concept of multivariate by just allowing you to test multiple elements on the same page with only two variables is such a tremendous breakthrough over simple A-B split testing that I think we need to be careful that we don't overreach. It's better to keep the multivariate simple, and that means it doesn't mean it needs to only be two values, for instance, but I'm just suggesting that when it gets too complex, it gets harder and harder to properly interpret the data. And so it's already wonderful compared to the limitations of other testing methodologies, even in its more simple versions. And I would advocate that unless you are thoroughly prepared for the interpretation phase and some confidence testing afterwards, that you keep it reasonably simple. Answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Excellent. We'll take another question. Go ahead.
This is Toni Dasgupta.
Yes, Toni.
I have a question regarding the statistical issue. It seems like the multivariate analysis, the big concern has to be the statistical significance. And I'm wondering whether the variables are quantifiable, whether you do any kind of regression analysis or kind of data even lend themselves to such an analysis, to kind of figure out what is the true significance of the model.
Yes. I'm having some difficulty. You may want to mute your line for a moment so we don't have an echo, but I'm going to try to answer. You can mute that with a *6, Toni. There was a strong echo here, but I'm going to try to say back your question, and then we'll see if we can answer it. I think you're saying that the key issue here is the statistical significance of the sample size, and are there methods, regression analysis or otherwise, that will allow you to go back or to verify that you're significant, that your sampling or is large enough for making a proper decision. Toni, if you could verify, is that your question? *6 will bring you back
that
on
is.
For that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Scott, do you want to tackle that before I comment?
Yeah, I can lend a little bit of insight into that. In classic DOE, there are statistical methodologies that determine when your test is, as we would describe it, cooked, meaning it's done. Take it out of the oven and eat it. With the Taguchi method, and the strength of the Taguchi method is that, and it's also somewhat controversial. So I just want to make that point as well. What you get out of that is the most stable. It's a test for determining the most stable result, basically. So we rely both on getting statistical validity in the verification or confirmation round, which comes after we've used the Taguchi method to determine our direction, and we get a classical sense of statistical validity at that point. In the Taguchi round, though, we also rely heavily on stability and kind of look for the recommended formula to become stable, and that becomes an indication that we have arrived at a point where the test has become, or the not the test, but the estimated recipe has become stable and is basically done.
Excellent. I will say this, in many cases, we just have to keep in mind that what we're trying to accomplish is ascertain a high probability. I'm overly cautious about some of the declarations that accompany test results, because I'm constantly reviewing, complex academic papers in the various journals associated with my own research, and trying to validate all of these experiments, you start to recognize that you can second guess yourself while you're losing money month after month. In the pure business environment that most of you are operating in, you're ascertaining a probability, and that probability certainly will be far more reliable than your typical speculative boardroom conversation that happens in most marketing departments. And even if you stack up enough high probabilities, you're going to get significant results in your favor. And so I'm not trying to oversimplify, nor am I taking away from what Scott just said. It's true. But even with A/B split testing, you have to go back and say, did I get enough conversions in both models to know for certain that I'm really absolutely right about this? And one of the easiest ways is to run a small confirmation test afterwards. But here's the thing. Even if element A is testing better than element B, and you confirm it 100%, conditions can change 3 weeks later because of market variables that weren't factored into your test. Testing is a progressive sequence, so we cannot reach 100% every time, and it would be fruitless to go there, because 100% today is still going to be called into question 3 weeks later. And if on a practical level, for instance, you may have found that if you put on the upper left side of your page a key graphic offering a free white paper download, that you see a higher conversion ratio, and you validate that, and you double validate that, and you spend time and money, and you get it up, and 7 days later, your competitor who has seen this on your page copies what you've done, offers the same thing on his homepage, and for some inexplicable reason, your conversion comes down, and you don't know why. It comes down because either his headline or the basic appeal of his white paper was better, or he just diminished the uniqueness of your opportunity, and now you both have equal dimensions of value. So consider this is an ongoing process, and that you're dealing in probabilities as opposed to absolute certainties, and you'll be more practical for the typical environment that most of us are testing in. Does that make sense, Scott?
Yeah, that explains it very well, actually. You're constantly in a sea of noise, as we call it, where there are just many, many things that are affecting the results of the test, and you're not able to control them. And that's one of the challenges of doing this stuff online. As Dr. McLaughlin mentioned, these multivariate techniques were adapted from the manufacturing area, where it's much easier to control and create a very controlled environment for the experiment. In marketing, we don't necessarily have that luxury, although with careful design of the test, as he mentioned, we can try to mitigate some of those outside effects.
Yes. Yes. All right. I'm going to move forward and move into some insights that are closely connected to what we have here. We're going to go back to lecture mode. Brian, I'd like you to drop in one point at a time.
Okay.
So we can drop the first point in right now, and they can utilize that and follow along with us in our notes. These are some of the insights. A/B split testing can be better. I don't know if usual is the right word. It's the one that's in my notes here, but it can be better for basic comparative testing, while multivariate testing is better for larger scale optimization. If you're set up properly and you can test rapidly with multivariate, then it may be easy for you to put this in place. But in many cases, there's so much work design in a multivariate test, not the least of which is the creative. There's so much that for certain things, it's much quicker to A/B split test two email capture forms and get yourself into a place and even come back later and multivariate test that as time permits. But in the realities of the world we work in, A/B split testing is generally faster to set up and implement. Now, again, with third-party solutions and certain tools, that may not be the case for everyone, but I'm just speaking in generalities. Brings me to point two. Although small-scale microtests can often suggest a superior value for a given variable, the most accurate results require adequate time for a valid sample to accumulate, which is back to our earlier question from Tony. While the Taguchi method can be quite effective, results containing any ambiguity should be tested for a longer period before being implemented site-wide. Now, I just want to point out something for you that is very, very critical. In some sense, you have a danger with multivariate testing in that you may test 14 different elements, and they test against each other in such a way as you determine that element A, B, C, D, and E, these are all, you know, you determine which one of these elements or what we call variables are the best, or which value for each variable is the best. And once you have ascertained that, you put them all together, expecting that you're going to still see the big increase in conversion. And suddenly, in aggregate, they're not as effective. It's more or less like baking a cake, and you test all the ingredients independently of the cake, and you test which one tastes better, and you choose those ingredients based on their independent taste, and then suddenly you put them all in the oven and bake a cake, and it doesn't taste as well as you expected. Now, that's an oversimplification, and technically it's incorrect, but the metaphor helps me explain to you a danger. You've got to be careful with your multivariate testing that you kind of... You got to be careful that what you tested independently proves to work as well in absolute combination, the final combination that you roll it out. And there are sequential issues there, and if this scares you, making it seem so difficult, at the very least, at the end of a multivariate test, you can run an A/B split test between the two that you've just, between the control page and the final page, and verify a couple of other considerations. Now, you don't have to do an independent A/B split test with the right multivariate tools. It'll do it for you, essentially, like an A/B split test. But the point I want to make for you is beware of assuming that because a given value is superior in one setting, it's going to be superior in its combined and final form. Scott, I'm trying to communicate something a bit complex, but do you have any comments on that or any thoughts you would add to that?
Really, it comes down to the methodology, and there are many different ways that you can use these tools and different ways that, I mean, that will get good results. There's no single best way. Likewise, with determining the statistical validity, there's many different tests. Regression is just one of them. But the methodology that we take when we approach this is we use the Taguchi optimization to determine sort of an overall direction for the creative that we're optimizing or the page that we're optimizing, and then go into our final verification/fine-tuning round, where we take what the formula tells us, as well as what we've seen out of the actual test battery, and then use our own intuition as well, because math can only go so far. There are still market conditions and world events and things like that which may take place and begin to have an effect on the test results, and we can use our intuition to our advantage, basically. So we will, you know, enter this fine-tuning phase and put in kind of what we think. We take what the formula says, we take what actually happened, and then we take what we think we know, and we throw that into a final test and just kind of hone in that way on the what will ultimately be the best creative.
Yeah, and that's essentially a reasonable path that we're going to teach. I'm going to give you a series of protocols in a later document, in a later end conference, on basically the refining process in testing. And I think you'll find it very useful. And again, I don't want to intimidate you, because some of you would think, my goodness, it's just it's overwhelming. But it really, it's if you get the procedure set up right, it becomes a systematic way that you roll out a new offering and you test its most effective presentation. And it just changes the culture in your company in very positive ways often, and it certainly changes the results. It's very strong. Which brings me to the third thing, and Scott almost touched on this. Seasonal trends or other trends can affect the outcome of testing. And if the traffic during that season is markedly different than normal traffic, you may experience a test result that reverses. Right now we're in the Christmas season. We've tested this in the search engines right now. Not only do you have more traffic, but conversion is much higher. Actual conversion of the engines is much higher. With our own research partners, we actually know that we can afford to turn up what we're willing to pay per click during this season based on variables that we've tested in the past. We can essentially turn up the cost per click or the amount that we would bid per click for the simple reason that we're going to get more sales from the same amount of traffic because of higher conversion during this season. Now, you also have to know right when to tune it back down or you're going to lose a whole lot of money. But what's interesting to me is that you might test something right now. We had this happen earlier this year where we ran a test, and everything we tested was just a stellar result. But that's because there was national news stories in the media that we think were causing a much higher attention given to the problem that we were solving with a product. And so we had to test it after the media quieted down, and we discovered that course conversion was much, much lower. In fact, some of the things that were working very well, even banner ads were working. They almost entirely quit working, and cost per click became much more challenging. And then something else happened. The impact of a new media, a new story, over time began to diminish. In other words, its impact on conversion diminished. As the public became inundated with such stories, its impact on their buying behavior diminished, and thus conversion diminished. So that's why you need to be aware. If there's something abnormal taking place during your test process, flag it. Number four, prepare to have your intuitive expectation proven wrong. Use your intuition experience to design good tests and to refine good tests, but in a well-designed test with sufficient data, the numbers do not lie. So number five, do not stop refining your marketing after just one test. We've touched on this. Continue to optimize over the lifetime of the site. A number of small improvements over time will result in a large improvement at a highly optimized site. This references back to our recent brief on the compounding effect of testing, and you can read more about that. Number six, regarding the number of page views or visitors needed to conduct a reliable test, this can vary widely and depends primarily on the conversion rate of the page itself. A free offer product may convert at 25% or higher, while a product sales page may convert lower than 1%. And since conversion itself is one of the key variables the impact testing, you may find that a lot of the range associated with your tests or the length of time necessary to get conversions is a factor of the overall page's conversion potential, or what we call value proposition force. We've created a metric here that measures the overall force of a value proposition. Most companies don't even have a value proposition, and those that do are lucky. If on a scale, I'll oversimplify, but if on a scale of 1 to 10, it's at 5. There's a real key to conversion that connects deeper, much deeper than the presentation of your offering. I recommend optimization take place on 3 levels. On the first level, optimize the product itself. On the second level, optimize the presentation of the product. And on the third level, optimize the channels driving traffic to the product. If you come out with a new publishing product and the product itself is weak, then when you optimize the marketing but not the product, you're creating a short-term gain, which will diminish over time. And in the end, you've made a grave strategic mistake. First of all, spend your money and time optimizing the product. When you optimize the product, you increase the force of its value proposition. Best way, when I'm teaching on the force of a value proposition, the best way I can explain it is if you come up with a new site selling CDs, you don't have a value proposition likely. If you come up with a very, if I was going after Amazon, I'd go after them in niches. So suppose you come up with a site that sells nothing but folk music CDs. Well, perhaps you have a value proposition. You have no competitive barrier. But if you come up with a formula that grows hair on bald men, that value proposition, if it really worked, your value proposition is so strong, you're going to see exponential growth. Google had such a proposition. So did Microsoft. The greater the force, the more natural your marketing growth will be. So you optimize your product, and you can do that with multivariate testing. I mean, essentially, Taguchi went back to optimizing products in the manufacturing chain, but optimize your product first. Then optimize the presentation of your product. I'm talking about your website, your print collateral, and everything that talks about your product. Get the communication right. Don't worry about your traffic sets yet. Why drive traffic to an underperforming site? Focus next on the actual presentation of the product. The key headline. The first thing I test is the name. Then I test the value proposition as it's expressed in a single slogan. Then I test a page of key copy that communicates the product, and out of that I lift all the key phrases, and those become the primary phrases used throughout my marketing collateral. Once I understand that properly, I'm able to get to the third thing, and that is to work on optimizing the actual traffic channels, your affiliate program, your pay-per-click, and all the ways you're driving traffic. But you must, first of all, I mean your banner, your links too, and ads, and anything that you've got, but first, it's for some reason, most people that come to us want to optimize those traffic sources. When we look and the presentation of their product is poor, and more often than not, the product itself is poor. It has no reason for existing in the marketplace. People are thriving on pockets of ignorance. Their businesses, and you start thriving on a pocket of ignorance, and then it reverts to surviving on pockets of ignorance, and then you become extinct. This is what happens to you if you decide you're going to become another computer parts reseller on the internet. Unless you have something unique and completely distinctive, what distinguishes you from all the other resellers of Ingram Micro products or Tech Data? Nothing. This is why affiliate programs provide diminishing returns until you understand and do them right. What you essentially do is ask 1,000 people with the same value proposition to compete with each other on the internet. And guess who wins? Just you. And the first few are those that have traction. Affiliate programs are targeted for the wrong people. They should be targeted for people with built-in marketplaces. That's a different issue that we can talk about later. So keep all of that in mind. I would suggest that multivariate testing has some powerful things to offer us. We need to use it with discretion, understand how it fits into the marketing mix, and all of us should continue to increase our knowledge as to how to utilize it in the marketing challenges that we each face. With that said, I'd like to take it off lecture mode, and in the last few minutes, and we really are just about out of time, let me see if we can take another question. Give us your name first, and then your question.
This is Ginger Macula, and I wanted to find out what are the highest impact changes that you'd start with. You mentioned background color. I was wondering about others.
One of the most important changes we've seen over and over again is the headline. If you're talking about, are we talking about on a landing page, Ginger?
Yes, I am.
Are we, I think a headline and the iPath produce significant changes. I'd also say that depending on how bad it is, the specific call to action or the button or, you know, the process that gets them to the next step, that's a very important piece to test. Now, if you look at our piece on, we mentioned already on the compounding effect, which is the last conference and the last brief, it'll actually go into very specific details that'll help answer your question.
Please hold the line, and we'll
back with you. Anyone else with a question?
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, so we've got somebody that needs to hit star 6 and mute. I'm hearing music and so on. Good. All right, what is the name?
Tell
it's happening
Chito.
Again. Pardon me?
Kenichi Chito.
Okay, go ahead.
What's the minimum sample size for a Taguchi SL?
Scott, do you want to answer that question? I don't. It's so general, it's kind of hard to answer specifically. But
we'll be right back with you.
We could try to help. I think we may have to. I'm sorry. Again, I'm trying to take your calls live, and there's someone on the line right now who's, I think, has got background noise, and we're going to have to go to lecture mode. I'd like to, Scott, I'll let you answer that question. For those of you with other questions, let me make this suggestion for you. I'd appreciate two things from you. Number one, email us your questions, and while the conference is we're out of time here, we'll try to respond personally with answers to try and help you. So just email us, and we want to make sure we do everything we can to help you learn what you need to learn. In the meantime, Scott, would you like to answer the other question?
Yeah, really, it's impossible to answer it at this, you know, without knowing more about the test. It's entirely dependent on the size of the test, how many variables, how many options for each variable you're looking at, also what your baseline or, as you call it, the value proposition force, what does the offer perform at currently? If you're performing at half a percentage point conversion rate, then it's going to take a massive number of views to get to a point where you feel confident in the results. If you have a relatively higher conversion rate, oftentimes you can get by with slightly fewer viewers or people in the test.
And essentially, and this is a rough, but this will give you an idea, to calculate the number of visitors needed to generate reliable, you know, multivariate testing, you try to multiply the number of composite pages by the historical average number of visitors required to create one conversion, and then by the number of conversions to create statistically significant results, which I'm oversimplifying, and I hope my academic colleagues don't understand that, but I'm trying to help you. But typically between 50 to 200 conversions is, a mean is found in there, so that the actual formula equals is more or less V equals P times C times S, where V equals your total visitors, P equals your composite pages, C equals your number of visitors to create one conversion, and S equals your number of conversions to create statistically significant results. And that's a very rough number, but it gives you some ideas to how we think. I would love to get feedback from you on this particular conference. I ask for that a lot because we're so dependent on it. We conduct these conferences, and we don't charge money for them, but when you give us your feedback, it helps us a great deal. The key is that I felt like this topic is a pretty complex topic and important to a lot of people, and I don't know if today we were too sophisticated or we were too simple, and I'd love to hear from you on that. I will also bear in mind that we'll be releasing the brief, and you can read all of these things we're talking about in the upcoming brief that will be released very soon. So I want to thank you for coming. I want to thank Scott for his help in this, and I'm grateful for your trust. We will keep trying to learn, and we'll keep trying to disseminate our learnings to you. Thank you.